You'll turn in your Bibles to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, if that helps you find it. Chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Listen, this is God's holy, inspired word. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for His Word. Last week it was Jeremiah. This is a series, an Advent series through the prophets. And in Jeremiah we learned that he prophesied during the time of the exile, when the people of God had been captured and many of them taken away to another land. It was a dark time. But when we come to the prophet Malachi, we come to a time when the people had returned to the homeland. They had returned to Zion. It should be a time of great delight, joy, and celebration. But we find something else present. Not all is well. It's important to understand the context of chapter 3 of Malachi. Of course, it's always important to know the context of any scripture so we can get a right understanding of it. But Malachi lays two charges against the people, two indictments, if you will. One is directed to the people in general. They have been unfaithful to God because they have not worshipped Him rightly. They have brought unsatisfactory sacrifices not in accordance with the law of God. They did not bring their best. They brought sick and diseased animals, and God would have none of that. And then there's a charge against the Levites, because they caused many to stumble. God is so irritated about these two sins, the sins of the people of not rightly worshiping Him and the sins of the Levites for misleading the people, that He says, you might as well just shut the church down. If that's the way you're going to worship me, if that's the way you're going to serve me, forget about it. I don't want it. This may be surprising to us because we take worship so casually, but God cares immensely about how we worship Him. And it is not just any way we choose or any way that we feel, but in accordance with His Word, in the splendor of His holiness. But it's interesting that he would get on the Levites, the priests, like this. We think that they might get it right, even if the people get it wrong. And if you read Scripture, you see it doesn't work that way. He basically says, you have turned away from me, and by your teaching you have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So God judges the people for worshiping Him with false sacrifices, and He judges the leaders of the priests for not teaching the people the truth in part about worship. The Lord does not issue the judgment for the ill of the people, but rather for their benefit. For God says in Malachi 2:4, "And you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty." And so that's the context. We come to chapter 3. It is dreary, but there is a seed of hope present. Malachi tells us that God will send a messenger. And the messenger is John the Baptist. We know this because in Matthew 11 it says that this is the one of whom it is written, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you." I don't think that's 11. Matthew 11, that's a little late for that. You can check the verse, but anyways, it's in Matthew. God will send this messenger. Malachi is telling them that the Lord will come, the one you desire, the messenger of the covenant. It is a little irony and maybe even some sarcasm here, because Malachi had earlier described the people as desiring God but offering false sacrifices, the implication being that they did not truly desire God. It is like Malachi is saying, okay, you want God, do you? Well, here he comes. And this would have been terrifying to them, as it would be to any people who had presumed the absence of God. Maybe the only thing more terrifying than the absence of God is the presence of God, when one had presumed his absence or non-existence. We would do well not to deny the existence and presence of God and keep that in the forefront of our minds during Advent. And I don't mean just when we come to church on the Lord's Day, but a continual reminder of his presence, to not live our life as if he is absent. Now, this proclamation of the coming of a messenger is bad news for them. Why? Because they've sinned. The messenger comes to declare how they've fallen short. It is a reminder and a warning to us. The Bible says when you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? No, we don't bring sacrifices because Jesus filled that role. He's the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We don't bring animal sacrifices, but we bring the sacrifice of praise. And God might say it differently because we're not bringing the animal sacrifices. Have you brought half-hearted prayers and lip-syncing hymns? When you let everyone else sing for you, that does not please him. And this is a passage of judgment. It teaches us that unless God saves a people, we cannot endure. But this passage isn't just about the messenger who goes on ahead. It's not just about John the Baptist who runs ahead. It's about Christ coming. It's about the Lord inhabiting the earth. God himself is prophesied by Malachi as coming. That's astounding. And we sang about that in the hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, about how amazing it is that the Lord Himself would come. He would come from heaven in all of His riches and come to live in sorrow. And the motivation of all of this is love. In verse 3, it tells us that when Jesus comes, that He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Isn't it interesting that it says Jesus will sit? Well, that's the position of teaching for rabbis. Jesus sits to teach them and to execute the office, as it were, not technically, but as refiner. That'd be under His office of priest. But He sits with the mission to purify. And who? The question is, as a purifier of silver, right? But He's not purifying silver. It's as silver. But this is a sign that He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. That is, God will refine His people for the purpose that they would rightly worship, adore, and magnify Him. This refining is with fire. This fire is not like a forest fire. Right? Because what does a forest say? The forest fire just consumes. But this is a refining fire. And fire hurts. Refining hurts. It brings pain. But it's done out of love. True love is never satisfied with leaving harmful things in the lives of the one we love. Think about it. A baby that's getting their face washed or diaper changed will scream as if they are being murdered because it doesn't feel good. But would we not say that the parent is doing a loving thing to that child by washing their face? But for all the baby knows, all they really know is something's happening they don't like. And that's exactly how you are and I am, right? When God puts us through the refining process, our initial response is, ooh, I don't like that. Stop it. And yet it is the hand of God. You know, if the parent does not do this, the baby remains dirty and continues to get more dirty. Pure affection will grieve over a fault and mourn over a folly and try to remove the blot or stain. And if you are seeking the Lord, you are seeking a God of fire, which will test you, and it's going to hurt. We often think, why does this or that happen to me, without thinking that maybe it's happening because God has ordained it? Because He wants to refine us. Many who have faced a medical crisis have learned, after they've asked, why me, that God is molding them more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus. we need to remember in this passage is it says that Jesus sits as refiner, that he sits for you. And he will not abandon. He's not going to stop because you complain that it hurts. He loves you too much to stop. You might be saying today, if you're paying attention anyways, I hope you're paying attention. Are you paying it? I don't feel very refined. Right. Well, if you think you feel very refined, you don't know what God's standard is, probably. I don't feel very refined. If you think back, if you're still working and think about your work week, and you think, I didn't act very Christ-like to all of my colleagues in working or my boss. I didn't act very refined towards them. And you know, it doesn't always get better when you get home. I don't know if you've had this thought on your way home from work, this expectation when you walk in the door, how it's going to go, and it's all going to go smooth, and then how many times it doesn't go the way that you imagined. And we lash out in anger, in disappointment, sometimes in hurt. We don't always feel very refined. But don't let Satan try to tell you that you don't belong to the Lord because you're not fully refined yet. Because pain forms us. You know, when we think about it, we would say that we are, when we confess our sin and our faith in Jesus, we're saved. And that's referred to as justification. And you should all know what justification means. But I'll define it for you. Being made right with God. For those of you in the Roman study, you should have been able to answer that already. Being made right. Because in every session of the Romans, every A, B, and C, we've talked about what is justification. Being made right with God. How did that happen? That happened through the eternal Son of God dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. It is a one-time event and it's done. If you're in Christ, you're justified. But the refining is addressing our need for sanctification. Being declared righteous doesn't mean we're living rightly. Sanctification is the process in the power of the Holy Spirit by which God moves us to righteous living. And so Jesus is the refiner, even for those that He has saved, because we're still a work in progress. And this is a reminder that though we may backslide, we never get out of the furnace of Jesus to refine her. Even as we're struggling, Jesus is still at work through our struggling. He even uses our sin for His glory. That's what was read in Philippians, that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And we like that. We feel warm and fuzzy about that. But in Malachi, it's reminding us that that working in us will sometimes hurt. It has to, because it's righteousness engaging with sinfulness. Hear this, child of God. What Jesus wants, Jesus gets all the time. Jesus sits and refines you. You can open yourself up to Him and feel the pain of being refined, and He will see you through to completion. He already loves you without question. If you're His, He's not going to stand up until he stands up to lead you home. It has been said that a refiner will refine a piece of silver until he can see his own reflection in it. Is that not what sanctification is? That Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would be doing the work of reflection, of refining, so that he sees his reflection in you when he looks at you. What a beautiful picture. And so this morning, if you have not embraced Jesus, and just because you're sitting in a church doesn't mean you have. If you haven't embraced Jesus, know that you need Him, because He's the only one who can refine you. There is no power in this world that can do it. In fact, all the power in this world is trying to make you dirty, is trying to trip you up so that you are not refined. Only God will refine. But He refines out of love. So come to Him today, because you don't know if you have tomorrow. So many people in the world will wake up tomorrow and they will be missing a loved one that they did not know would leave. And the question is, are you ready to meet Jesus the refiner? You know, wrapping this up, and when we come to the season of Lent, we get that that's a time of purification. That's a time of refining. But really, Advent is meant to be that as well. A time of purging. And so this morning, I would just urge you, embrace the work of Jesus, the refiner. Because this is how we celebrate Advent. This is how we prepare for His second coming, to the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.